Hey, Ellie, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. I've been up since 5:30. The day's 4.5 hours into it already.
Wow.
What?
So productive.
Trying to get up
Sure.
early, people, I'm telling you. Changes your, you get tired. The afternoon, you get a little tired, but it's healthy.
Yeah. It's also a lot easier now that it's getting light so early.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Yeah. I woke up to birds at 5:19 a.m. on Shabbos.
That's awesome. You could have a vasikan then if you did that. I wish I would have
Yeah,
woken
I
up.
definitely went back to sleep, but
I hear you.
didn't
Hey,
need to.
Nathan. Good morning. I know there's a couple of joining. We'll wait another minute.
Yeah.
Exactly. Listen, this is all age shir. You know what I mean? Like chabur, it doesn't matter. You don't need to.
No experience necessary.
No experience necessary. Exactly. She's for sure watching something. There's no way she's sitting there like that without watching something.
She's watching you. She finds you quite entertaining.
Wow. Tell some jokes. Play some kid video games. Hey, Shira. Good morning. Welcome. So right now, women are the same number of women are in the chabur as men, I guess, right? 3 and 3.
Oh, we just lost one. No longer egalitarian.
Did you see I sent out this morning the OURCA policy for reopening shuls?
What's the policy?
Yeah. Check it out. Basically, like we're a long way away from full operation of shuls. And a very long way, like Rosh Hashanah is a suffix.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like
That's
Rosh
a
Hashanah as
lot.
we know it, for sure is a suffix.
Well, in Lakewood, they're davening on these
Balcony.
balconies.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Israel too. Yeah. Okay, but you can't, it's hard to do that here because we don't live in close enough proximity to people.
Yeah. It also could be cold already by Rosh Hashanah.
Right. Think Meadowbrook and Fraserwood, I think people can walk out to the balconies, but we can't really do that here.
Yeah.
Not in suburbia housing country. So, okay. It's 10:04 and we should start. So I just, you know what the problem is with Zoom is that when you post a link and then people join later, they can't see the link. So that's why I was reluctant to post the link until people had joined, but okay, might as well send it out now. I'm sure I'll have to resend it, but let me do that now. If obviously it's better to have an actual Gemara, it will make life a lot easier. But in the event you don't have access to one, it's the same Mishnah as we did before. And what I want to do today is take a totally different look at what we've been doing. I the last couple of weeks I wanted to provide just kind of an overview, just quickly, of the sugya itself, in terms of the issues that come up. And now what I really want to do is hone in on something which I believe is extremely fundamental and often overlooked and is integral to really understanding everything and anything. I want to begin by asking, and I've tried to be nuanced in certain things. I don't know if I've been successful, but here's the beginning that I want to start with. Let's take a look. The opening line of the Mishnah is chock filled with very important information. Kira shesikuha bekash uvigvava. Again, we're talking about a stove that exists, and is what's the source of the fuel? The source of the fuel is subpar fuel consisting of straw or chazarai from the field, subpar fuel they don't usually use. On such an item, in such type of an oven, a stove, no sinin alahatavshu. You can put a pot, you can put a pot on it. Now that's the language of the Mishnah that we've seen a number of times over the last, little while. What I sent out last week was asking a very important question. And number one, we know that there's a concern that we're going to have, which is to stoke the coals. Right? We saw that already a few times. Shamad Yechotaba Gechalim. This is, now what Isser are we referring to here? Out of you have to pinpoint one of the malachot that we are concerned about. Which malacha might that be? Which malacha are we actually referring to in terms of stoking the coals? Which malacha is that?
Bishul.
No, so I think it's extinguishing the fire.
What was that?
Isn't all the extinguishing the fire because you're going to hasten its lifespan and then thereby hasten its extinguishment?
We have two different statements here. One statement is a statement of Bishul, and another statement is a statement of, you know, hastening the fire. So in my, you can, if you'd like, you can flip to Ein Gimel. Ein Gimel is the list of the Avos Melachos. You know, the 39 principles that are forbidden on Shabbos from Mina Torah. I'm going to read you a list. I'm not going to start from the beginning because it's not necessary. But here we go. If I go to my list earlier up, it says Avos Melachos, the main principles, right, are Arvil Chaserachad, and there's a list, ba, 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 ba. One of them is, I'm sure you're familiar with, something which is referred to as, I'm going to find it in the Mishnah here. There it is, Va'ofe. Meraked Lashva Ofe. Ofe is baking, and Ofe is very similar to Bishul. Why did our Mishnah choose Ofe? Because our Mishnah deals with Sidur Depas. We dealt with that a long time ago. Hang on, someone wants to enter. I have no idea who it is. Who are we welcoming? They don't have a name. Hi, welcome. Who just joined us? Oh, Shalom Aleichem. Okay, welcome. You don't see people's names. You get nervous. You don't want to, have some, terrorist or some like anti-Semitic bomber join us. You got to be, careful. Which, don't worry, you're not. So welcome. Let me go back. So again, we are listed in the Mishnah the number of the malachos, and we deal with the word Ofe, which deals with preparing the bread, even though it has to be Bishul, which deals with the sum of money. Again, we dealt with that before. But then the Mishnah continues, and towards the end, it says the following, HaMechabe VeHamavir, which are number 37 and 38, the Imak Yabapatish, which is 38, and Motzim Shush, which is 39. So 36 and 37. Which is, again, mechabet, to extinguish, and mavir. What's mavir? What's called havara? How would you translate havara into anglaise? What's havara? Mechabet is extinguishing. But extinguishing to make something productive, which I don't want to write. It can't just be extinguishing regularly. That would be rabbinic. There's something productive about your extinguishing. And the next one is havara. What's havara? Kindling. If you kindle a fire, You're increasing your heat source. That, my friends, is also an Isser Doraita. It's a forbidden act. And therefore, really, if we want to understand what is going on here in our Mishnah, we need to realize, well, yes, perhaps this is an issue of Bishul in terms of cooking our food. Fundamentally, if we really want to talk about, welcome, Shimi. If we want to fundamentally talk about our issue, we have to recognize that this is a Havara issue initially. Meaning, if I want to stoke my coals, if I have coals that are being kindled and I'm concerned about, increasing and so on and so forth, and therefore I have straw, and if my concern is Shema Yechateba Gechalim, I'm worried that in a classic situation, where on a regular, you know, Tuesday I have a stove and I want to, my, you know, it's not going as well as I thought. I want to, you know, move around those coals, flap them down a little bit to increase their fuel so that my cooking will enhance. But fundamentally, primarily, my first concern really is havara, to be mavir. Because once and only once, if I increase my fuel, then the second stage is it will, of course, increase the cooking. But this really, at its primary outset, is a havara issue. And I think that's very fundamental. Because if this is a havara issue, because remember, what's our concern that we've seen over the last few weeks, right? If you, again, I don't have a shared screen on because I'm just going back and forth too much, but if you take a look at that link that I put out, which I'm going to resend because people have joined. But that link will take you to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, if you take a look at the Rashi Adshe Yigrov, remember, what's our issue? What are we concerned about? Hagei Chalim, Mishum Demosif Hevel, right? And again, all this is concerning about, we are worried that you're going to stoke the coals and therefore put in the subpar type of fuel. This way, you're much less likely to stoke the coals. And now, I want to picture in our head what this looks like. Because here's our problem. Our challenge is that we live in 2020. That's not our challenge, it's a reality. And we have an image of a stove and an oven, what it looks like. But that's not going to be very helpful because we need to transport ourselves back 2,000 years. Because without understanding the type of ovens and the type of stovetops and how they cooked 2,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago, we're not going to really be able to understand our Mishnah properly. And that's what I'd like to do today. And this is going to be very important. And hopefully, this might even lead to a tremendous chidush. We're not there yet. Look at Rashi and our Mishnah. You can either, again, you can either flip to Lamed Vav, you can either flip to the actual Mishnah itself, which can be found in on Lamed Vav Ambeit, or you can use that link that I put out in Zoom. But that first Rashi, and I want you to tell me, what does this look like? Look at the Rashi. Kira, asu'uha ke'ein kidera, v'notnin kidera litocha. Can anyone please tell me what in the world is Rashi describing? Again, Rashi, Kira. Well, we have to know what this looks like. Kira, so again, this is the stove that we're talking about here. So here's the stove. And it's Asuya Ke'en Kedera. I don't know if there's English on here. No idea if there's English on here. Kedera. V'notenin Kedera Letocha. Can we translate these words? Can someone translate this Rashi for me, please? And once you translate this Rashi, can you describe to me, please, what the stove looks like? So here's our stove. It's made ke'in k'dera. What is a k'dera? What's a k'dera?
Is it not like a pot?
It's a pot. So I have a, what do you mean? I have a stove that's made like a pot. And what do? And I put a pot in it. I have a stove that's a pot, that's like a pot, and I put a pot in it. Does anyone have any clue what this means? Like, when your head wants to imagine this. And again, the problem is we can't imagine this because we live in the modern era where we have these stovetops and we have these electric ovens, and clearly this is not what you're referring to. So what, if I had to go back 1,500 years to the times of the Gemara, about 2,000 years approximately, time of the Mishnah. This, if this would be described as a Kira, everyone knows you're talking about. They have an image in their head. We don't have such an image in our head. So what does it look like? What is a stove that's made like a pot that you put a pot into? Can anyone explain to me, please, what that means? What's a pot that you put a pot in? What's a stove put a pot into? What does that actually look like at all? Anyone have an idea?
Would it be more comparable to an oven, maybe?
It'd be more comparable. What do you mean by that? So again, remember, we have an oven. So here's a modern day oven, right? It's, I open it up, I put food in it. Where's the heat source? Right at the bottom. Let's say there's an element, right? Other element is covered or not covered, however oven you have. right? You have an element that sits in the bottom of your oven. I open a door. I put the food in. I close it. I reach my hand up and I turn a dial, right? To whatever, 350 to cook, right? So is that, would you say that our oven today is like the size, is shaped like a pot? It's a pretty big pot. It's massive, no? Right? So this
actually thing,
sorry?
I actually have a Masifta edition that has like an illustration.
Okay. That's exactly what I'm going to load to everybody. This is what I want to show you. Here we go. I'm going to upload three. I can only upload one picture at a time. Yeah, most likely. Okay. I'm going to upload now a couple of pictures. Thank you, Baruch. See? There you go. Hope this works. Can you see? Hope I uploaded the right files. Do those look like pots? Oh, no, I think one isn't. Hang on one sec. What did I do here? What is 0714? That is not what we need. Okay, you don't need 0714, although it's a nice picture. Forget 0714. That's something else. Go to this one, 5675, and double-click on it, please. Does it open?
Where are we supposed to be seeing these files? In the chat?
In the chat. It doesn't work?
I don't see it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I have them.
Don't open the first one. You don't need 0714. That doesn't work. That's not the right one. That was something else I was working on. You need to go to 5675. Can you open them?
It's upside down, but I see it.
Oh, it's upside down. Oh, boy, it's upside down. Okay. Okay. Sorry. You can flip it around by doing some like fancy, you know, maneuver. Oh, yeah, it is upside down. Okay, one second. That's okay. Because computers can flip things around. Rotate. And press rotate again, and now it's good. Okay. You'll see here, you can see my kid's handwriting. You see my kid's handwriting over there? Isn't that cute? My kid's handwriting. Okay. I want to show you what it looks like. Now, you'll notice there's two. You see my kid's handwriting on that one? That's 5675. That's not the one, Baruch, that you have. Right, Baruch? You have a different picture over there. Everyone, look at, please, 5675. You will see two types of ovens, one on the right and one on the left. You see the difference in the two of them? The one on the right is a rectangle, like a box, and the one on the left is like a teepee. You follow? Right? The one on the right is like a box. The one on the left is much more like a teepee. Okay. Now, I sent out last Sunday I sent it out by email? I think I sent it out by email. Another source that I want to look at today. How do I look up that source? One second. I sent it out. Didn't send it out again.
Ow.
Sorry, Baruch, I just muted you. Not that I don't like hearing children scream. I love hearing children scream. Let me look over here to downloads. What was the date last Sunday? The 3rd. So last Sunday I sent you. Where is that? I don't know where it is. I'm going
to
just.
You sent it to me via WhatsApp.
Oh, it was Drew via WhatsApp?
Yeah. The Mehram?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Can you put it on the. Can you chat?
Yeah, I could do that.
Don't mind, just put on the chat the Mehram, please. In case people don't have it or didn't see it, this way they can access it right away. Okay. So, if you have a Gemara, it doesn't matter. I mean, if you have a real Gemara in front of you, So where can you find the Maharam? In the back? Where can you find the Maharam? You can find the Maharam, those of you that have a real Gemara, you can find the Maharam over here, which I realize is not very helpful to many of you. But the Maharam, if you have a real Gemara, can be found at the bottom. He wrote, it's on the Chidushei Halachot with the Marsha at the bottom there, right? So you see here, here's a, over there at the bottom. If you have a real Gemara, it's right over here. If not, that's why I took a picture. Thank you very much to Ellie for sending that out, the Maharam. Now you save it in your downloads and then you open it up, right? Let's see if that works.
You can open the file like on the Zoom chat or from there.
Open file. Now that I've downloaded it, there's an option. Beautiful. There we go. Okay. So I'm going to actually read it off of the Zoom chat. This way I can hear what you're seeing. Okay. The top, everyone have it? Thumbs up if you're good. Thumbs up if you're good. Yeah. Okay, good. Excellent. Here we go. So take a look at this Maharam. Maharam is going to quote Rashi. I got to tell you, it's actually much bigger on the picture that I took that I sent out than it is live. And so it's, okay. I want you to, let's read this together and you tell me what he's saying. Here we go. Rashi, Kira, Asuya Ke'en Kedera. Here's the Maharam explaining what's going on here. The Kaman and Daflam and Chem, Mefarsh B'Gemara. Here we go. Surat Kira. There are different types of Kira, different types of, excuse me, ovens. Misham Nilmad, Shehu Kli Cheres. It's made out of some earthenware. Sheyesh Lo Toch. It has, what's a toch? It has like volume. Vehu Kishir Makom. Shechlu Lamod Bitocho Shetei Kiderot. Levashel. So we're talking about a situation where you could fit two pots, right? Shiur. You can do two pots can be in there. Steak there. That's why I wanted you to show you that picture of our rectangle. Because, you know, a rectangle, I can fit two pots next to each other. Right? You follow? The Vashel. The Rochbo Kishiur Rochav Kedera. It's the Rochav, right? Is what? Is the Shir of Rochav Kedera. Upatuach. Lemala, and the top is open. The gavo shehu shaveh lemala, and the height is shaveh is equal lemala. Kamo lemata, laf right? Kamo lemala. So he just defined what this kira is. What's a kira, right? So again, let's go back to that picture. The picture is telling me there's room in this box for two pots next to each other. It has then a little bit of height, you know, for maybe another pot, okay? And you can place fairly easily two pots in this little box, okay? That's our Kira.
Rabbi?
You place it, yeah.
Why is it called the Tanur in the Mishnah?
So, yeah, it's a good question. Because we're talking about a Kira. I have no idea what just happened. Do we just... Sorry, do we just break up and then reconnect? Sorry. What just happened there? Did I disappear?
I guess I think I reconnected or something.
I don't know what happened. I think maybe my internet went down for a second, and then I don't, that was very strange. Sorry. But again, what our Mishnah is telling us is that there's going to be two different types of ovens that existed. There's going to be the one that we're talking about is this Kira Tanur, right? And that's this box. There's going to be another one that's like a teepee, okay? That's why that picture that I sent you, that we looked at originally, has two different types. There's one on the right and one on the left. we're talking about says this is what I'm talking. Without this Rashi, without this Maharam, you have no clue what's going on. Now, Baruch is lucky; he has a good picture book. But without a picture book, you are totally clueless of what this looks like. Especially if you live in the modern era and you have different types of ovens, right? And stoves. You don't even know that. So this is going to be fundamental. Because if you don't understand what the Metzius is, then there's nothing to talk about or to analyze. Which is why I believe this is extremely fundamental. And by the way, now when we're going to understand the reasons behind old day cooking, to extrapolate to modern day cooking is potentially going to be extremely eye-opening and very relevant. And how much can we extrapolate from times of hundreds of years ago to today? It's not going to be so simple. I believe it's going to lead to a potential leniency. But okay, we're not there yet. So what I want to show you is this picture, right? So again, we're talking about a rectangle type of Akira. Your classic tanur is a teepee tanur, right? Right? Where it goes up like this and like a cone. Right? But that's not what we're talking about here, which is that Rashi needs to identify in Perek Akira saying we are talking about Akira. Akira is a tanur that functions like this. And that's what Rashi has to explain right off the bat in the Mishnah, which is why you understand why all these picture books, right? I have over here on the left, I have this great Mishnah over here, right? Called Pnei Shabbos. This is my, I have my English version of it, right? I purchased it when my boys were going to Mishnayot Shabbos, I don't know, whenever they do that, in grade four, grade five. So it's very difficult to understand a lot of things on Shabbos without pictures. It's just extreme, and listen, so I understand but Shabbos has, there's so many things that they talk about, without visuals, it's very, very difficult. It's difficult for children. It's difficult for adults. So that's why this picture is so important. And that's what I'm opening up here. Okay? So that is this picture over here. Right? So again, you have an oven that can hold two pots next to each other, and it's a rectangle. So that's why Rashi says, what do? You put a kira in, you can put this gedera into a gedera. There's room for two pots. It's like you're putting a pot in a pot, right? It's made out of Klicheres over here, Cheres. Okay? As opposed to this classic tanur, which is called the teepee tanur. Okay? By the way, what's the difference between them and why you want two different types? Maybe we'll talk about it. Each one has a certain reason why you want to do it. Okay, but now you'll see here there's an opening. Everyone sees this opening over here? Right? That's where you put your fuel, right? That's very important. That's where you're going to put your fuel. And you'll see here also, there's a little bit of height, right? That's going to be very, right? How high is it? The height of two pots worth. Okay? So, but what makes this kira different, as opposed to this tanur, you'll notice you generally put it inside over here. That's not what we're talking about. Here, you have an option to put it on top, or you can just rest it in. It can go either in, but that's for fuel. So this generally you put it on top. That's why you can talk about chazara and netina very easily in this type. And it's much easier to return things and take them off when you have this box type of an oven. Because this box type of an oven lends itself to returning and placing back much more readily. And that's exactly why this is the Mishnah. Okay? So it's a very, very important, I assume the English is the exact, I assume it's the exact same picture. Yeah. Any difference in the picture? Yeah, it's exact same picture. And what's neat is this is actually very brilliant. You'll notice, what's this picture over here? Right? Shabbos, right? Your Shabbos candles are kindling. Okay? So, all right. Nice. Oh, this is very good. And the next picture is even more important. What's the next picture? Is it the same picture and both of them? No, this is actually better. Okay, good. All right. One step at a time. So let's go back to this Maharam for a minute, because again, you know, Maharam didn't have the picture book. We have a picture book. He didn't have a picture book. He's explained to us how the picture book, we get the picture book. Right? Maharam probably had Rashi. That's it. So we have Rashi, the Maharam, and together we get a picture book. But, you know, let's see if the picture book is right, right? So this is where they get it from. This is where they get it from. So the Maharam is explaining Rashi, who tells us these things, but the Maharam is, I guess, expanding on the visual component, which definitely lends itself to these visual aids. Okay, let's continue reading in the Maharam. I'm actually going to just slide over and read the Maharam inside of my Gemara. And it's shavela mala kamolamata, right? So it's equal. You have the same amount of the volume is going to be the same. Okay? Like I said, you can rest these two pots next to each other. There's room. You can even stack them probably on top of each other. Ah, here we go. Here's the key. Lafuke tanur. This is an Akira tanur. Your classic tanur, I already explained it, right, is your TP tanur. Hare rochav lamata, it's very narrow on the bottom. You could only fit one pot. The katsar lamala, and it's narrow. They call it a TP tanur. Umachmat ze niklat chomo betocho. And those of you that know anything about heat distribution, the advantage of your one pot tanner, your teepee tanner, that it gets hotter, right? And by the way, from my physics perspective, it gets nearer as it goes up, better for the heat, right? It makes the increases the heat temperature. Nigla chametachav, tvei, better. So your teepee tanners are much better heat. But again, there's a disadvantage of your teepee tanners, and that is you can't put two pots in there. So, you know, you have a bigger family, right? You have guests for Shabbos. You might need your Kira tanur, simply because you need more pots. So the TP tanur gets things hotter, faster, it's more energy efficient. So, you know, they'd like it at Enbridge, but you only fit one pot. So, you know, advantage, disadvantage. Fine. The Imkei, I'm continuing in the Maram. The Imkei, Masha Pirish Kan Kein Kedera, when Rashi is saying it's like a Kedera, it's like a pot. Don't think for a second that the base is narrow just for one kedera. It's made out of klicheres. It's made out of earthenware. Hasher metit. That's made out of teat, mud. The charisit kedera. The yesh lachalal. It has volume. It has a cavity, right? That's that picture that I saw. Now, remember, you have to understand something. Why does it matter if there's a chalav, there's a volume, if there's between it? Because where are you cooking? Where is this pot going? It has chalav. It has space. Okay? Meaning, we often don't cook in places that have chalav. We usually cook often directly on the fire. There's no chalav on the fire. Right? If you think about a stovetop, right, a stovetop. Forget, we'll come back to an oven in a second. A classic stovetop, you put your food directly on the element. We're not talking about that here. We're talking about there's volume, there's space. V'yesh l'chalal, v'toch, and there's space. She'yocholim li'ten k'deira b'tocha, to put a pot in there. Now, sometimes, aval l'famim notenin gabe ha'k'deira. Sometimes you won't put it inside this cavity oven, and sometimes you'll put it directly on top. That's why you saw that picture with two circles. Sometimes you'll put it in the volume, in the cavity, and other times you'll just rest it on top. It has a hole just to put it on top. So the heat is, I don't know, 6 inches, 8 inches, 10 inches, whatever it is, 12 inches below. So you can cook in two different ways. Another advantage of this Kira type of a tanur, excuse me, is that you can cook in two different ways. So A, you can cook with two different pots, and you can cook in different ways. You can either rest it on top or put it inside this cavity. Hold on, I know you're trying to extrapolate to the modern era. It's going to be very important. But we're almost there, a little bit of patience. But you see, You don't put it directly on that circle. It might fall in. So what do? You put a kisui matachet. You put what we call today a grill. You put a grill over it. And then you'd put your pot. You wouldn't put the pot directly over that circle. You put a grill down first. Now, why would you do that? Because metal is a great conductor of electricity. And what else does metal do? It spreads it evenly under your pot. So you don't want to put your pot specifically over this opening stump. First of all, it might fall through, right? But also, you want to put metal there because metal is very good at displacing the heat evenly with your pot. And that you use it, it's a mami. It holds up from the word lamod, it holds up your pot. Or just for the svat, or just for the your lips of it. Come on, and that's why our Mishnah says no tanin aleha tavshil. That's why our Mishnah is talking about a case that in this oven you can also put a tavshil over it. You can put something over it. As we've been describing the last couple of weeks, yeah, what do you mean you can put it over? So that's what this means. As opposed to our tipi tanurim, you don't put food over it. It's too narrow. It's very high up. This one has volume, but it's not like a tipi one. And it's made to have two openings because it can fit two in or fit two above. Two in with the fuel there, above holes. You can put your pots in there, but really you put grates in, like you'd cook, let's say, think of you're going, oh, it's almost Lag BaOmer, right? Tomorrow night's Lag BaOmer. So think about your fire pits. Think about your classic fire pits. You have fire. You could put your food in there. You don't really do that. I guess you could in theory, but that's usually brown. Think about it as in a box form to put your food in the fire pit, or you can put it on your fire pit, right? With a grate there as well. Okay, and there's volume in your fire pit. Your fire pit has enough space to put dishes or pots in there, not dishes, pots in there to heat up and cook, or you can put it up on top. Okay, so that this image is very important. And Rashi, in just a few words, as expanded by this Maharam based on various Gemaras and Mishnayos, gives us a very important elucidation of the image we have in our mind. And this is very important, right? He's not just giving us information because he's trying to give us a nice, you know, picture book, but rather, I believe, is going to be fundamental to what Chazal are going to understand are the potential challenges when it comes to Havara. You're worried about stoking the coals. You're worried about, shall we say, increasing the heat, spreading the heat, specifically if you appreciate the ovens and the methodology and the methods of cooking from hundreds of years ago. Okay. Any questions so far? I'm going to pause, and I've been talking a lot. Any questions or comments on what we've seen, read, and heard? Is this clear? Is it clear what the Maharam is saying, what the pictures are saying? Yeah? Is it clear? Okay. Now, so again, our rectangle kira is helpful because you can put two pots next to each other or above on top, as opposed to our tipi tanur, which gets hotter. It's like a trapezoid, right? It's like a tipi tanur, gets hotter, but it lacks certain components. Like you don't put two in there, it don't really cook on top of it. Okay. Who did we lose? We lost Ellie. Okay, hopefully Ellie's okay. Did I finish this, Maharam? Okay, this is that. Are you ready for this? This is the Maharam. The Maharam lived in the Middle Ages. So, I don't know, 700 years ago or so. Look at this last line that he says. This is unbelievable. The cut of Rashi, right? You see where we are in the Maharam? Cut of Rashi. Now, look at this. This is all necessary so that that we would appreciate exactly what our Mishnah is talking about. He asuya ke'en kerot shalanu. This is like our dishes. That what? She'en lahem shum toch. But again, Maram is saying, Rashi is explaining all this in our Mishnah, right? But now you have to appreciate something. Our keros, our ovens, or really our stoves, ein lahem shum toch. They do not have any volume. They have no area. They have no space. Meaning, how did they cook 700 years ago? They cooked directly on the fire. There was no cavity to put pots into. And look at these words. V'lekach, therefore, these four words are vital. Ein dinam kedin ha-mishnah. Those four words are fire, literally. Therefore, you cannot extrapolate from the way they cooked in the various stoves that they had in the times of the Mishnah. You cannot extrapolate to what we have today. The ovens, the entire process of cooking is totally different. Why is it different? Because in the times of Chazal, they had volumes, they had openings, they had spaces between their fire and where they cooked. And we do not have that today. Wow. Can anyone then try to explain in the times of Rashi, in the times of the Maharam, how did it look? It looked much more than we had today. Much more than we had today. Meaning, the way it looked, it had nothing, there was no space, there was no cavities. They cooked directly. They cooked directly on to the with the fire. So I did a little bit of research, and this is what I found. I'm gonna send it to you right now. Hang on. Copy. Paste. I'm gonna put this into the Welcome back, Ellie. Ellie, Baruch Haba.
Thank you. Sorry, Zoom is killing my computer.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Okay, you missed like the most important four words in Maharan, but he basically says, since today we don't cook with volume, there's no space, we cook directly under our fire. He says the last four words of the Maharan, Ein dinam kedin ha-mishnah, that you cannot learn anything from the Mishnah. The status of the way we cook today is vitally different from the status from the way they used to cook in the times of the Mishnah. The different type of cooking. Radically, radically different. The stoves that we use today are totally different, and you cannot ein dinam kedina Mishnah. And this led me, I said to everybody, take a look, please, at the chat. In the Middle Ages, waist-high brick and mortar hearths and the first chimneys appeared. Meaning, here's what happens. If you go, let's fast forward from the times of the Mishnah and Gemara to the times of Rashi and the Maharam. We are fast forwarding hundreds of years. What begins to happen in the Middle Ages when Maharam and Rashi lived? They begin to have what's called waist-high brick and mortar hearths, and the first chimneys appeared, which radically changed the way they cooked. So that cooks no longer had to kneel or sit to tend to foods on the fire. So they began to make things eye level. You know, like today, what's very in these stand-up computers? You know, like you have to bend down to use your computer. You can like do it like straight, better for your back. So because of the way they would do chimneys, and because of the way they would bring heat directly into everyone's house, it fundamentally changed the way they were able to cook. The fire was built on top of the construction. The cooking done mainly in cauldrons hung above the fire or placed on trevets. The heat was regulated by placing the cauldron higher or lower over the fire. Meaning, they no longer cooked with volume. They made, take a look at the, I actually, tried to go online. You do it now. How, what would they do? They built the fire. Everyone cooked like with a grill top. There was fire. You put your grill over the fire and your pot went over that grill. You know, think of like the medieval, you know, the cauldrons in Shakespeare, right? Right? The big cauldrons. They put them over the fire. Where, and this is very important, what, my friends, is one of the fundamental differences between the fuel source in the times of the Mishnah and Gemara and the fuel source in the Middle Ages? What is one of the main differences? Answer? Again, if I have a oven or a stovetop, here's my fuel, and I'm taking a grill, and my grill is over it. Oh, now I'm using technology for everything, right? Oh boy! And what am I doing now? I'm taking my food, my pot, and it's going on top of my grill. Where's my coals? Where my wood? Underneath my grill. And if I want to make this is too hot, lift it up a little bit. Be not as close to the heat source. That's all I would do. That is fundamentally different than cooking with a halal. Remember, a cavity. This is what the Maharam says. In those days, in the times of the Mishnah, in the times of the Gemara, they had large boxes. Think of them as a box. At the bottom sat you see those, the picture? There's a little opening. See that little opening with an arch? That's where you put your fuel in and out. You couldn't put a pot in there. It was too small. It was for your food, your coals, your wood would go in and out. You'd put your food through the top, right? It was double width. In the case of the Kira, or your tanner, which was like a chimney, right? You put your food in, you lowered it down. And the bottom had a little opening to put your fuel in. Well, what is so different? What's the fundamental difference? If there's a halal, if there's a space, and you're putting your fuel this way, inside, maybe you could even put a pot in there if it was a smaller pot, potentially. But generally speaking, you put your pot from the top. Why is that so different than the times of the cooking, not just of today, where we cook on top of an element, but even, so they didn't have elements, not electricity or gas. What did they have in those days? They just used the fire. But they put their rack, they put their element, they put their metal, matachet, over the fire. So what is the fundamental difference, and how would that potentially impact our Mishnah practically?
Is it how direct the heat is, like on the food?
So you're saying that it potentially the temperature could be higher because it's closer to the actual fire. No question, that could definitely be true. But how would that impact this Mishnah in terms of stoking the coals?
In terms of adjusting the fuel source, I mean, lifting the cauldron higher or lower doesn't have the same, let's say, bad incentive as having to directly adjust the coals or stoke them. Humans wouldn't necessarily be as likely to then violate the Havara issue.
Very good. That is unbelievable. That's why the last four words of this Maharam are very important. That's what he says. Listen to his language. V'lachin, ein dinam kedina mishnah. Ein dinam, the status of how we cook, how we heat up, how we have everything, and how we have our stove. Ein dinam mishnah has nothing to do with the status we have in the mishnah. Why? You have no access to your fuel source. Your fuel source, you can't access it. It's covered with a matechet. It's covered with an iron metal grate. And on top of that, great is your pot. But if the whole concern, this is why we tried to highlight this over the last couple of weeks, if your whole concern is Shema Yechateba Gechalim, is that you're going to stoke your coals, your coals or your wood or whatever food you're using, because if it's a Havara issue, it's a Havara issue. If I remove that issue and I don't have access to it, I don't have easy access to it. There's no door underneath that I have access to. I fundamentally can't get to it. I'm going to lift my pot up, take it off, open up my grate, stick my hand in and or whatever, stick a metal prong thing and stir it around. I won't do that on Shabbos. It's so many steps. I don't have easy access. As opposed to in the times of the mission of the Gemara, your access to stoke your coals, to enhance your Havara issue, was so much easier. That is why the Maram says, Ein Dinam Gedina Mishnah. Our modern, middle-aged stoves are totally different than the din of the Mishnah. And that's why the concept, and that's why the Maram highlights this toch, this halal, there's volume, there's space. None of that exists hundreds of years later because of the invent of the chimneys and all that stuff. Amazing. This is amazing. This is a gold mine. This, I don't, now I understand, right? Now I understand why it's so important for this picture book to explain to me what it actually looks like. Because without it, I just extrapolate one from the other, and it's not me. This is Maram. Ain't dinam gedina mishnah. Wow. This is an amazing statement from the Maharam. Okay. Any questions so far? Yeah, sure, I'll ask.
Wouldn't ours be more similar, though, than the one in the Middle Ages? Because we can easily just turn off the stove. Like, we can, it's like stoking the fire.
Oh, you're saying, like, the element, my access to the element is super accessible. For up and down, up and down. Mm-hmm. Okay. But, yeah? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like, we can easily just turn up the knob. Like, it's
okay. Okay, oh, very good. So now all of a sudden, I'm now saying, okay, potentially, this modern day extrapolation could be, so how do you stoke the coals? So today, I don't stoke a coal, I turn a knob. Very good. But what happens then if I remove my knob or cover my knob? Right? Is that the same as... Maybe that's the equivalent of removing everything from it, right? Potentially, right? Right? Maybe. At least potentially from that component of it, right? Okay. That's why it's very much a knob issue, right? Right? The knob issue really plays a very important role. Sure. We'll see why that's going to be very important. Okay, good. Okay. There's one other thing that I wanted to mention. Okay, now, am I forgetting anything? Okay, so how exactly would this gzera apply or not apply? Maram says, you know, there's no cavity to insert the pot. It's much more like a stovetop. And in many ways, since the coals or the heat source, right, is in a totally separate location. Oh, maybe the idea here, and this is what's important, is that when the heat source is in a separate location than the cooking utensil, maybe that protects the stoking of the coals, right? And so maybe I can't even extrapolate to the dials yet. Because if the gzera is all about having your heat source and your food in the same locale. So maybe if I can separate, I mean, if I can separate. Sorry, I think my Wi-Fi went down. Sorry, I think I have, I'm on Zoom, and I have two sons also on Zoom at the same time, because they're also in school, and, you know, so three people and whatever. Okay, I apologize for that, but I think we're all back. I think we got everybody. I think so. Okay. Oh, no, we lost Mike, whatever. We got most people back. what was I just saying? I don't know when we cut out. I'll say it again. Maybe the issue, and this is what requires more investigation, of when my concern about Shema Yechaleh Yechalim, when my heat source and my actual food, my actual pot, is in the same location, right? And by this requires a bit of investigation, but the food is in a separate entity today, right? That in the times of the Mishnah and the Gemara, your coals, you know, the heat source is in the same place as your food. Now, in the modern world, and even the times of the Middle Ages, they're not. They're totally protected, right? You, in which case, you're protected from stoking those coals or your heat source because, of course, they're in a separate entity, a separate cavity, a separate locale than your actual pot itself. So, very, very interesting and important, I believe, Maharam and Rashi. Maharam is explaining Rashi. Those last few words of Maharam are like vital. And so I think this at least begins to give us a much greater insight into the issues and challenges that we're dealing with, and at the same time open our eyes a little bit to modern day extrapolation, and really comes down fundamentally to understanding the difference in the cooking process that has really changed a lot over the last number of hundreds of years. And obviously today there's a total different revolution when it comes to cooking because of electricity and because of, you know, knobs that obviously didn't really happen in those days. So we'd have to deal with that also perhaps at a later date. But for now, it's 11 o'clock, and I know people have other things to do, so we're going to end there for today. And God willing, we will continue next week as well at 10 o'clock. So thank you, everyone, for joining. Really, kol hakavod. And if any questions, you message me privately, and I will see you, God willing, next week. Have a great week, or you could join every day from 12:30 to 1 p.m. during lunch. Those that are starting summer school or courses, Hatzlacha Rabba. Have a good day. Shavuot Tov.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Bye, everybody.